The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to the Dark Side of the Pooch, the show you need to know about animals, about kitty cats, about dogs, about fish, the band Fish. He's your man, Dr. Rab Stewart. What you got there, man?
One of my employees gave this to me. It's a pin.
There you go. That's kind of crazy. If you're watching, you're watching us on our YouTube.
Animal.
Sesame Street sure does. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, Rossbridge Vet. Of course, wherever you get him on social media, you can find him at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter. Now, I don't know how much longer we have to say X, formerly Twitter. Can we just say X now? Do we have to say formerly Twitter every time we say X?
I think you can say X now, because I think that
we all know what it is.
If you're not on Twitter yet, you're never going to be on, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I think all of the Twitter users now know that it is X.
Yeah, exactly.
So they could have come up with a better name. I mean, X, like X
said, Elon Musk thing. Said Elon Musk.
It has such a terrible connotation. You know, like
no, but you know what, man? Everything is X. It's extreme. Everything is X extreme. Everything is X games, X meds. Everything is X extra. Everything's like in your face, as bright as possible, as loud as possible, as fast as possible, as humanly painless as possible. Everything is just like, and it's just like going 1,000 miles an hour, and it's extra. And like, you're going to get some meds the other day, and I go, my daughter says, I need some headache medicine. And of course, she's 11 years old. She's not ready for the good stuff yet. She wants the children's stuff because it's got, you know, tastes like bubble gum or candy, cotton candy or whatever. And I said, okay. And she goes, make sure you get the extreme. And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, the ibuprofen, get the extreme. And I said, extreme ibuprofen. I said, ibuprofen is, she goes, no, it's called extreme. It's gotta be the high dose stuff. It's gotta be the best. It's gotta be like extreme. And I was like, oh, for God's sakes. Everything's
it's
gotta
like
be
you're loaded. It's like your loaded cereal. That's extreme. It doesn't get any more extreme.
Exactly. Loaded. I mean, seriously, I got out of bed and opened it, loaded, right? I was like, hey, geez, let me get some milk near that box, man. Put that thing out. It was like a flame or something. But when I see that loaded, I almost feel like I'm eating crack, because it's like, what cereal is loaded? When you say I know they're loading those little pieces of cereal with some like little vanilla frost, whatever it is, but that's not loaded. That's, you could call it stuffed. So they're going after our kids, man. They're going after that vaping generation. The synthetic, you know, oh my gosh, I can't get my stuff from my man on the street anymore. So now I'm going to have to go to the 7-Eleven and ask for behind the purple pills, behind the blue pills. No, not the yellow ones, the green ones. There you go, the green ones. Extreme. Keep you awake all night long.
And pretty soon you may be able to get an extreme scratch off legally.
You know what? That would be kind of cool. I know this for a fact. There is already a scratch off called Extreme.
I'm sure
it's called Extreme Scratch Off. It is. It's called the Extreme Scratch Off. You have to scratch a little harder, but it's well worth it.
You know, when you go to these other states, you go to Georgia, like when we go to a Braves game or something and we're on our way back and they have, you know, the Atlanta Braves scratcher or the Atlanta Hawks or the Atlanta Falcons, mm-hmm. when this gambling bill, if and when it passes,
yes.
what is going to be what specific Alabama scratcher are we going to have? Are we going to have the Iron Bowl scratcher? Are we going to have the Helen Keller scratcher where we can be blind and you just scratch haphazardly?
Yeah, and it's like this big, so that way you can't miss. They're going to be tied into everything. And don't think for a second that the University of Alabama, Auburn, UAB, everyone's going to be tied in to football scratchers. Oh, dude, it's going to be. Let me tell you something. We just did a show on this on my TV show on ABC 3340 this past Saturday. Cause you know, Kip Kiefer, my guy is on the Paramutual Commission Board, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of like, he's making his money every month because he gets his parimutuel money and he gets his money he has to spend to talk about parimutuel racing, and that being horse racing and anything that's got animals in it, this, that, and the other. And the only reason they have lottery machines out there is you know what the lottery machines are? You know what the machines are?
No.
That was weird. My door just opened. What's really bizarre is they have archived like 35,000 racetracks already. Okay. So there's like horse races from 1973. So they already know what's going to happen on the outcome. So therefore it's legal. So you're betting on whether the three horse, and then somehow it's computed into a bingo card. And when that number of race comes up and it hits, then it shows up as a B7, it goes to your card, and then you get it's genius. I mean, it's genius. I mean, it really is how they got around it, how they loopholed it. It's really amazing. But yeah, what we'll probably have, I think the Senate's already passed. It's either the Senate or the House, and now it's going to go to the other one. And the other one is kind of like, you know, taking their time with it. But again, I think I'm all about having lotteries. I'm all about, you know, having a casino. I don't want 10 casinos. We're going to have 10 casinos. 10 casinos in this state. There'll be casinos everywhere. Yeah. Because if you're going to give them one over here, every parimutuel track's got to have one. And then every Indian plantation's got to have one. That's 10. And then I think there's some behind the alley thing down there in Loudoun County of the sheriff's office or something.
Whitehall.
Boss Hogg is rolling dice in Loudoun County. Seriously, there's something. They got something down there where the sheriff is running some off game, and that's going to be a clue. So if we're going to do it, you're going to have 10 of them. And of course, you know what's going to happen. The minute this medicinal thing surfaced, you know, for this marijuana, we had, I think, three farmers. Now we have 3,973 farmers in the state of Alabama that are growing marijuana. No, it's been going on for generations in my family. What are you talking about? It was kind of like the BP oil spill. People are still opening businesses down at the beach 10 years after the BP oil spill because they know there's $40 billion sitting in an account somewhere. It's ridiculous. Bunch of scoundrels.
I think the interest in 4-H in high school, I think the enrollment for all the 4-H clubs probably just went up like 100-fold. I got to get in 4-H, baby.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I don't fault people. I mean, people are going to go where the money is. And I do this. I think it's amazing. I went to a restaurant. I think it was called Reminiscing or something like that. Down in Orange
Beach. It wasn't
Slutty Vegan. No, they should open one down there. That's perfect for the beach. And I asked the dude, I said, how long have you had this restaurant? He said, about 2 years. And I said, oh yeah. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, with all that BP money. And I said, did you have a restaurant during the BP oil spill? He says, no. And I said, well, how did you get it? He goes, because there's all that money. And if you open a restaurant now, you still get a piece of that action, even though it was 8 years ago. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, you can come down here and open a restaurant in a heartbeat, have $1 million in your pocket and open your own restaurant. And I was like, it's craziest crap I ever heard in my life. Who knows?
I was still in vet school when that happened.
Really?
A long time ago.
You know what? I was on the beach when the first wave came up with oil on it. There were about 300 of us standing on the beach, walking up, and it was late in the afternoon, and we saw the trollers and we saw the oil coming up, and it was the Indian commercial, dude. Remember the Indian commercial with the big teardrop? You should have seen the people crying on the beach. I mean, crying. And as you're looking out over Orange Beach, normally at nighttime, you'll see like three or four lights. Those will be oil well drills, or there'll be boats or something like that. It looked like there was an island on the other side of the ocean, because there were so many boats out there trolling that oil that there was one light after another. So it just looked like there was another island when you looked out into the Gulf of Mexico. Super sad. But I've actually got, if you remind me next week, I got some mud balls, some oil balls that I still have. And they basically get really hard, And then they just break up. They're like stars. They're like, they get super hard to the point where you can throw them against the wall and they won't break. And all of a sudden, just one day, they just break apart, which is in our water.
So, I mean, I guess that we'll never like truly know, or will we, what the after effects of that are.
No, my brother works for the government and he's a conservationist. He's a scientist. And he said, you know, the fact that we had the oil drill cameras on, we were watching it day and night. It was millions and millions of gallons. The tallyer was just going and going and going and going and going. Kind of like our deficit in this country is $43 trillion. You just see, and it just adds this anxiety. Oh my gosh, it won't stop kind of thing. He said, Tony, he's like, it was like a finger prick in, you know, a swimming pool. He's like, if you put your finger in blood and let one drop go in there in an Olympic sized swimming pool, that's about what that did to our oceans. He said, you know, I know it's sad, and it's certainly, you look at the animals that were affected by it. It was super, super sad, and it certainly affected our fishing. But you also remember too, the BP oil spill, everyone was talking about the beaches being closed for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And that next summer it was dead, but the following summer, they were getting $4,000 a week for a condo. I was like, I thought the weed beach was dead. I was like, because I'll swim in black water if I can get me a condo for $500. You know,
I think Amity Island lost more money with Jaws than we lost.
I'm telling you. So I'm thinking to myself, so I get down there and I'm like, what happened to the place being closed for the next day? And they're like, oh, people couldn't stay away. One year, that's enough. And they're like, we'll go down to the beach and we'll swim in mud if that's what it takes to enjoy our beautiful beaches down here in Alabama. And by the way, Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Comics and the Games, Sasquatch Comics and Games. You want to talk about a great place. By the way, I saw Seth last week. His new business is killing it. He is doing fantastic. Ed's Pet World, they're not closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, but they're still open Wednesdays through the weekends. They've got rabbits, man. We talked about it last week on the show right here on Dark Side of the Pooch. If you want a rabbit, now's the time to get your bunny rabbits. They got them down there for Valentine's Day. Of course, we just had that, but we have Easter coming up. It is springtime. You can domesticate rabbits. At least according to some publishers, they're saying that rabbits are going to be the new cats within the next decade. Within the next decade, we're going to have more indoor rabbits than cats. True?
Yeah, we need a new cat.
Yeah. Not a new cat, but no. I don't know. I like the idea of having rabbits in the house. Obviously, you can't do that with dogs, not the kind of dogs I have. The idea of sitting nestling on a cold winter's night with my pet rabbit, my loppy ear, sounds pretty good to me.
They're very cuddly. And they put off a lot of heat with their ears. You know, you can nestle up with those ears and
do that, keep yourself warm through the winter. Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, cause I know you don't partake in varmint, but is there anything about rabbits, you know, that is an interesting little tidbit you could share on the show here on Dark Side of the Pooch besides dogs and kitties? Is there any interesting thing about it? Because I just thought it was really interesting because I'm always, you know, I looked at a Cotamundi, I looked at a brown skunk. I wanted to get something kind of different. And obviously it had to be something that was legal. I looked at some different pets that I wanted to have, and I've done the goats and then the chickens and then all stuff. And I actually looked at rabbits, and I used to have rabbits, but they were outdoor. They were messy. They pooped all over the place. And it's because, you know, obviously it's like anything else. A dog will do the same thing unless you take care of it and give it attention. But if you give a rabbit attention, they say you can train them to go into litter boxes and everything, just like a cat. And they're supposed to be super good pets.
You can train them to go into a litter box. Yeah. Sometimes you have to file their teeth down. You have to like clip their teeth kind of. They can break their back really easily if they kick out. So you have to support their back legs because they will break their back like that.
What? No. What do you mean?
Their back legs are so powerful when they kick, they can break their own back. So when how you do you pick them up? You have to support them. You have to support their back end and keep them from kicking out really hard.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So yeah, they're also called lagomorphs. That's the little family that they're in. They're lagomorphs. And they eat their poop at night. Really? Those are all the rabbit facts that I know. And they always outsmart Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, well, those are my rabbit facts. There's no doubt about that. Well, and we brought this up because we talked about, what do we say, that if you had a country full of dogs and cats, it would rank 60th. And economic or eco environment friendly, it would just be a crap hole. It would just, because of all the methane gas and everything that the dogs and cats create, and rabbits don't do that because they eat everything that they produce. They eat everything. They eat the top of the carrot, the bottom of the carrot, and they let it loose, and then they end up eating their own poop.
Yeah.
probably not something you want to get rabbit kisses.
No, I don't want rabbit kisses. Cause the front end is just as bad as the back end.
Never heard about the kicking thing though. I've never heard of Kung Fu rabbit.
It's Kung Fu to your grave. Cause yeah, it'll break their back.
How often does that happen? I've never heard of telling my kids to pick the rabbit up by the back legs or else it was going to break his back.
Well, you don't pick it up by its back legs like it's dangling down here.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, that's how you like drop it into a pot to boil it, I guess. But when you pick it up, you have to support its back legs. Like, you know, its back legs are back here. Its head's up here. So you're supposed to kind of scoop it up.
Gotcha. All right, well, I'll let you know when I get one. I'm telling you, within 5 or 6 years, there's going to be a sign outside Dr. Rab's office that's going to say now serving rabbits.
I need to jump on it now.
Hey, I want a piece of that action. Just letting you know. Dark Side of the Pooch, right. Brought to you by Sasquatch Comics and Toys and Comics. Either way, 60s, 70s, and 80s, unopened stuff in the box, everything else, fantastic. Citation Court, of course, they've got the business open 50 years. It's called Ed's Pet World, Exotic Pets and everything else. They do wonderful work. Check them out. Ed's Pet World and, of course, the Sasquatch Toys and Comics. I want you to walk our audience through what I went through the other day. I went through like it was difficult for me to walk my dog through the vet. I take my dog in. My one dog sitting in the front seat of the car was great because I was playing with the lock mechanism on the car door. And of course, every time I hit that lock mechanism, the dogs go crazy. And I was just sitting there screwing with it because I was sitting inside. Anyway, so Rainer comes in for, I guess it would be his annual. Was that he's in for his annual?
We call it the wellness visit.
The wellness visit. Okay, tell people what my dog was coming in. Tell people what they are being checked for. Mine came in for a urinary tract thing, which we obviously did not do because I didn't think it was going to be bad enough that I was going to walk around with a ladle trying to catch his pee. I wasn't going to do that. Your nurse was too slow, so I knew I wasn't going to be fast enough. Tell people how you ladle dog's urine. How that happens. You get the dog to go outside, it hikes his leg, and you hold a ladle under his pee-pee.
Yeah. Well, so the wellness visit is really crucial when it comes to having animals, especially if you have a pet, because they can't really talk to you and tell you if they have a minor ailment or an early ailment. So when you come in, we do a physical exam, and you know, there's all kind of little nuances to the physical exam, and some people do it a little bit differently. You know, it doesn't have to be exact. It just has to be thorough.
Yeah.
So the way that I do my physical exam is I start at the tip of the nose, and then I work my way all the way back to the tip of the tail.
Okay.
And we're looking at, you know, for the most part, every inch of the dog. When you go to the doctor, the doctor can come in and they can say, hey, how are you doing? Do you have anything that's bothering you? And you say no. And then they, you know, they listen to your heart and lungs, and then they pretty much let you go. Because they take your word for it that you feel fine, you don't have any problems. Well, mm-hmm. You know, dogs and cats can't do that. So we're putting our hands on every inch of the pet's body.
Let me back up just a little bit, because I think it was you that said the best thing an owner can tell you about their dog is nothing. Because when you start asking them questions, they start talking about their, they don't know. They don't have it. They think, well, yeah, he's experiencing some pain and he's making this yelping noise and the stuff's coming out of his nose and he's licking his paws. And really, if you just look at an animal, you can tell all these things. Can you not?
Yeah, we can tell a lot, but there's a difference between and what we're talking about is a medical history. And there's a difference between a client who, you can ask them questions and they will give you good pertinent information versus a client that will throw a bunch of stuff at you, lead you down the wrong path, create a lot of red herrings. And so for clients like that, I would prefer them not to tell me anything.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, it's hard because owners want the best for their pets. They want you to know everything you could possibly know, but sometimes that can be a drawback, you know, a detriment. So anyway, we're doing the physical exam, and probably one of the main things that we can pick up on before a client does is that if they have a heart murmur, a client's never going to know that. And there's a bunch of different reasons for them to have heart murmurs. Clients don't normally look in their dog's mouth. We can look in their mouth and be sure they don't have oral tumors or dental disease and need to have their teeth cleaned. Other things is the mucous membrane color. I've picked up a bunch of dogs that are anemic, meaning their red counts low just by looking at their gums.
Really?
There was a, oh, you remember the big spleen dog that we talked about a few weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is an example of how the history can sometimes lead you astray. They said they felt like it was a musculoskeletal issue because the dog tried to jump up onto the bed and it fell. And so they felt like it was either it fell because it couldn't make it up on top of the bed, like maybe its hips hurt, or it had a musculoskeletal injury after it fell. Well, when we look at the dog's gum color, and it's, you know, basically the color of your wall behind you when it should be pink, we know right away that there is more to the story than just a musculoskeletal issue.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to pick up on a bunch of stuff that owners aren't going to pick up on with a physical exam.
That's really interesting. So, you know, we're men and we hate doctors. I've got a toothache I've had for like the last, I don't know, 3 months since was it Thanksgiving? And so I went to an ENT. It took everything for me to go to an ENT. And of course, you know, you look in the schnoz, they could do like a year on this thing and still not get it. You want to talk about going tip to toe. They could go through the entire nose and not get it in a year. Anyway, so again, there, and then come to find out that there's nothing wrong with my ear. And I know there's something wrong with my ear. So I was kind of like, okay, screw it. I went to the doctor. I did my point. But now I still have an earache. So how often do parents of animals take a dog into a regular checkup, knowing there's nothing wrong with their animal, and then all of a sudden finding out the dog has got cancer? We hate that. You know, guys are like, I'm not going to the doctor because I know they're going to find something. And most of the time they're not. It's a preemptive type of thing. But it, certainly if you're not feeling well and you think you got cancer, something you need to go check. But how often does just on a whim do you find something in an animal that normally would look healthy?
I mean, it's pretty common. Ear infections, you're talking about your ears.
Yeah.
I mean, ear infections are really common for us to pick up on a physical exam and the owner has no idea. It's not very common that a dog's going to come in for a wellness visit and we're going to find something that is just catastrophic, you know, and we have to tell them that they may not have a whole lot longer to go, because when it gets to that point, I mean, the owner's going to pick up on something. And even if they come in for a wellness visit, in the history, they might say, you know what, they're really not eating very much. They're not really active. That they've been throwing up some. Mm-hmm. And when an owner tells you that kind of stuff, it can't be a huge surprise if we find something that we don't want to find.
Yeah. And for the most part, you know, obviously, if you're a good owner of a pet and you're bringing them in for their year, and let's just really be honest here, it's changed so much since we were kids. Because I know my mom and dad never took my animal to the vet. I mean, the only time they took it to the vet was it got hit by a car. And you know, we had a dog named Rufus that was hit by a VW bug. If it was any other car, that's the cars we had in the '70s, right? It was normal to get a dog hit by a VW bug back in those days. Now it wouldn't be kind of rare. But it wasn't that they didn't love the animal or whatever. But the dog just never went to the vet. We rarely washed it. It was always a mutt. And they served a purpose. They served good dogs. And I think it's great that we now look after our animals a lot better than we used to.
Yeah, things change, you know, and it takes generations to implement change. Just for our own health and, you know, not to mention our pets. Like one of the things that people, you go back to what you said about when you were a kid, your parents didn't really take the dog into the vet unless there was something wrong or whatever. Well, now it's changed to where most people are educated and they know that the pet needs to come in at least once a year. We like to see them twice a year because the more physical exams they have in the year, the earlier detection we can have for things like heart disease or renal disease, you know, all kinds of stuff, thyroid illnesses and things like that. But, you know, now it's really, it's interesting because I think dentistry is becoming such a big deal in small animal medicine. And like I said, it takes generations to make a change because as I'm talking to some of our older clients about, you know, hey, your dog's got a lot of tartar on its teeth that can lead to periodontal disease, infections in the mouth. And, you know, they just kind of laugh and say, well, I mean, it's a dog.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything for that. I mean, when did this become a thing? I mean, this is kind of ridiculous. Like, don't you think, Dr. Stewart? And I'll say, well, I mean, you know, back in the whatever 1600s or whatever, I mean, people didn't brush their teeth either, you know? And so now it's a big deal for people to take care of their mouths. And we're just getting to that same thing with pets. So, I think that, you know, people have to keep an open mind about progress and where medicine goes, and it always advances, and it's for the betterment of, you know, the thing that's sitting at their feet or in their lap.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you. And I think a lot of people, I had a very interesting show this morning, Mission Minded, with Michael Coleman from the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We were talking about all this food distribution, the Ubers and the DoorDashes. And, you know, we got people that are spending $6.50 to have a $3.50 Big Mac delivered to their door. Yeah, we can't find someone to take a carload of groceries to a poor family in a rural part of Alabama. It's just ridiculous. I mean, and so we're kind of back assward there. But you're talking about, from a delivery standpoint, we're always looking for convenience. But certainly with pets, I mean, you can make an argument, and I told you this before, you should be a millionaire if you listen to the show, Dark Side of the Pooch, to start buying some pet stocks, because the pet world right now is going through the roof. A lot of it had to do with COVID, but the people who did get animals during COVID, and there was an explosion of ownership there, the ones who are good owners and take care of their pets are going to do everything they possibly can to make sure that pet is coming in twice a year. They do travel with a family. They are going to fly first class. They're going to be therapy dogs. They're going to be great dogs. And they're going to be a really neat piece to the family dynamic in the future.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's kind of like you said, the pet stocks are always, I mean, for the most part, you pick a good one and they're going to do pretty well. But with the, with the explosion that we saw in 2020 and 2021, it is starting to level off a little bit. I mean, if you look at the national trends in the third and fourth quarter of last year, visits were actually down, you know, from the year before, depending on where you were, about, you know, 1 to 5%. And that is carrying through to this year. And I think it makes sense because you did have a lot of pet ownership occur during those years that maybe wouldn't have happened otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so some of those pet owners may not be real gung-ho to bring their pet to the vet. You know, you're going to see kind of a leveling off and maybe even a dip in some of those visits. I think it's probably a misconception that it's not as important to bring an adult pet into the vet as it is a puppy. You know, when you get a puppy or you get a kitten, you got to take it in, you got to get it shots, you know, and then you got to get it spayed and neutered. And then after that, you know, well, you know, we'll just kind of take it in as we need to. And that's really not the way people need to think about it, because as the pet gets older, they're going to start to develop problems that we can pick up way sooner than the owner will, way sooner than they'll have symptoms. And then we'll be able to extend the life.
All right. Great stuff. Tell people how they can find you, my man.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, or you can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
How's your guitar playing going?
You know, it's going pretty well. I usually just kind of play what I hear. Like if I hear an interesting bass line, I'll say, oh, that's pretty cool. I need to learn that. So the last few days, my daughter, she told Alexa to play some Valentine songs.
Oh, okay.
First song that came up was Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen. Nice. And it's got a really interesting kind of like old blues line, but it kind of strays from that during certain parts of the song.
We've been
working on that. It's a good one.
That's a great song. Stuart Rome, of course, When in Rome, does a show here on Tony Curry Radio with a Woodhouse Day Spa, Birmingham.woodhousespas.com. He wants to play bass with you. He picked up a guitar. He actually played a couple riffs for us on his last show on Spotify. I told him to learn the beginning riff to Barney Miller. I think I've already told you that, the Barney Miller theme song. Boom, boodo, boom, boodo, boom, boodo, 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 boodo. I said, dude, if you play that, man, I said, you'll knock the socks off anywhere you go. He's like, oh, what a great bass line. I was like, I know, right? That Barney Miller, man, is killer. So he was asking about your last show, and he's like, if you ever want to get together and, you know, do a jam, do a fish jam or something together, you guys get together. He's really into the blues stuff, just like you are, loves the jam stuff. getting ready.
That'd be awesome.
Get ready for Jazz Fest. So
yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, man. Take care of yourself. Thank you.
All right. See you next time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.